thank you for your blessings upon us, Lord, to bring us to your house this morning. And Lord, it is you that we want to see this morning. Lord, in your word and in your people, in the moving of your spirit, Lord, we just desire to see your perfect will move in our lives. And Lord, take us where you want us to go and make us be the people that you want us to be. We commit this service this morning into thy hands, Lord, and ask that you would come and quicken your words to us, Lord, the words of eternal life. Lord, that you would be lifted up and glorified in the midst of your people today. We thank you and ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you again. Blessing of God to do so. We want to receive it as such, and we know it is, so let the musicians go ahead and over the seats. Just appreciate the Lord. As Brother Daniel said, we had a good time yesterday, and we thank him for that. Thank the Lord for speaking to our hearts through the little ways that he does. He knows how to do it just the way that nobody else can. So we thank him for that. Thank him again, as I said, to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you go ahead and open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll go ahead and get turned to the reading of the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll start at verse 1. While you're turning, I was going to mention to the church of Brother Matthew Wither had given a prayer request a few weeks back for a woman who had breast cancer, had had it for 2 years and didn't tell anybody about it. That's what it was. How many members of the request? We prayed over it, and you know what the Lord did? She went back to the doctor, and they couldn't find it. Amen. So we thank the Lord for that. Brother Branham tells a story about how in the message, "How Can I Overcome?" He tells a story about the little bitty dog. He calls it a half dog tall or two dogs long. It was a weenie dog, what we call a weenie dog, a little short and real long. And it was just a small pup anyway. And he's telling about the people he knew. The wife of the house there had an Oldsmobile car and ran over the little puppy, smushed its belly. And somebody said, "Well, I think if it was my dog, I'd shoot it." And Brother Bram said, "Well, let's don't do that. Let's just wait a little while." Brother Bram said, "I got everybody away from there." Sometimes you have to do that. He said, "I got everybody away from there, went and prayed for the dog." And he said, "The dog got up and followed me up on the porch." Mm-hmm. And here's why I tell you that story, because of the phrase Brother Branham ended that with. He said, "Whatsoever you ask." Right. See, whatsoever you ask. We don't know. I don't know who this person was. I don't even know if they were a believer, much a message believer or whatever. But the request came, and saints prayed, and God answered. Right? And so, just goes to show that I think the diagnosis was that, well, it's been 2 years. There's no way anything can reverse that, but God can. And so that's the God that we serve this morning, mm-hmm. as we turn to His Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. This is Paul speaking, and he says, "I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom that God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed it unto them by His Spirit, For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We'll pray just one more time. Lord, we just take the words that we've just spoken and we commit them to you this morning, Lord, that you would open them to our hearts. And Lord, that you would show us how they relate to our walk in this day. We would understand, Lord, that there is a way that we can walk and a way that we can move as a Christian would move in this world. And would make us to be able, Lord, to be fruitful in this hour, in this life that we live. We ask, God, that you would take these things and commit it to the hearts of your people now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I appreciate the songs that were sung. I know the Lord is in that. I've mentioned a few times in the last couple of weeks or last month or so how that the Holy Spirit moves in the body. And I just go ahead and say it this way, that you know, I may stand up here and you might say, who's the preacher in the church? Well, Brother Tony, Brother Daniel. But I also want to tell you, and that's supposed to be by the moving of the Holy Spirit, that we say what the Lord would move upon us to say, and that's the way that works. But also the songs that are sung, those are inspired. Brother Tim does the same thing. He seeks the Lord for what the Lord would have him sing. And I was, he sung two songs this morning that I wanted to sing Thursday night. And I just, you know, it just didn't work out for me or whatever. But I know that there's a spirit, Spirit of God moves. And as he's moving and doing things, there's going to be an aspect of what he's doing that's touching all of the lives of the people. If they're in the spirit, if they have that kind of a reciprocating relationship with God, those things will happen. And so when God's preparing a sermon or something here, he'll move and a song will complement that. Or you know what I'm saying? And he'll move on you in your prayer life. If you get in the spirit and you're praying in the spirit, then he'll pray things through you and you'll remember and you'll come to church and it'll be the same things. And you'll see that there's a life there that's not our life that makes a difference. And that's the way it should work, saints. That's what I want to see in our assembly.
Amen.
Is that not a man, or not men, or not people so much, but that we could see that pulsating life of God that's moving and lighting and going back and forth from one person to the other, so that the body as a whole is expressing the life of God for this assembly and for this area that we're in.
Right.
And so we know that's the way it works, and I pray that we can all see that and begin to draw on it, because it edifies. It really blesses. And we're in an hour where the bride of Christ is we're the body of Christ, and we're in an hour where we should be coming to that full stature of Jesus Christ. And the scripture says when that happens that we would be edifying one another, and that the body would be able to supply everything that it needs in itself. And so we want to just remember that as we go into the Word this morning. Anything that lasts. You know, we spoke 2 weeks ago on the what house will you build me? And I didn't mention it then, but anything that's going to last a while takes a while to establish.
Right.
You know, I could go out this afternoon and in a matter of 2 hours I could probably build a little cardboard house that I could spend the night in. But you know, that cardboard house wouldn't last long when the weather starts changing. Right? I could put it up quick, but it'd go down quick too. But anything that's gonna be established, that's gonna last a while, takes a while to establish. And so it's kind of that way in our lives, it's that way in a church, in an assembly, it's that way in all kinds of things. And so we wanna keep courage and keep heart that though sometimes, you know, we're always wanting to get there faster than we should.
Yeah.
Children want to be grown up way sooner than what they're really able to, right?
Right.
We call it adolescent years or whatever, but they see a change in their body, they have a feeling that they're become grown up or something like that, and in their mind, they're ready, and you know, they're not. And so, it takes, you know, other things to take place in their life before they actually are really ready to be considered adult, because when you move into that, you have to receive adult responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And so, it's the same way with the body of Christ. We want to move into the things of God, and He's going to take us into those things. He's got somewhere where this assembly is going in Him, rest assured. But we won't get there faster than He puts us there, but when we're there, we'll be able to accept the responsibility of what He wants to give this assembly when that happens. And I see you moving in that direction, and I pray that you pray that God will have His way among all of us. Like I said, so that He'll be the one that would be glorified, and He would be living through us. And so it takes time, and He'll get us there. This morning, I'm just going to talk about God's provided way for us. And God has a provided way for us. I mean, believe that. Mm-hmm. He has a provided way for everything that you have need of. As Brother Graham said it this way, if there's a question, there's going to be a Bible answer to it, right? If there's a question about life anywhere, because we're made by our Creator, and this is His Word, He addressed anything you and I would come across, and any answer that we would need can be found in His Word.
Right.
Can be found by Him, because we are His subjects. You take a man, I think Brother Graham gave the example of the guy that was having trouble working on the car, couldn't get it to run, and some other guy walked up there and said, "Why don't you do such and such?" And they did it, and he fired right off. Well, come to find out, the man that did it was the engineer.
Yeah.
He knew the car all in and out. So the man that made it or designed it knows all there is to it. So I think if we had questions about things that were complicated to us, the best thing for us to do would be go to our Creator, the one who designed us, and let Him give us the answer of what we need. And so if He could make, like we was talking about the healing a while ago, if He could make cells and put them together and cause it to be a body, then if those cells got backslid and got to where they were sick and they were decaying, He could speak by the same word that He created them. He could speak and call them back to their original position, which would be healing, so they could function like they're supposed to. And so that's why it's important for us to know. One thing I noticed yesterday when he talked about Satan being a healer or something, Satan's not a healer because he's not a creator. He's a perverter. He cannot undo what he's done, because he and his people are. The scriptures talking about those fallen angels are reserved in chains of darkness. They can't be enlightened. So he's not a healer, but God is, and he's, and healing is tied so closely to being the creator, right? Being the creator. So he created those bodies. He could certainly speak and call them back to their position. And so God has a provided way for everything we need, whether it's a financial decision or healing for your body, whatever it might be. It might be that you're looking for someone to be a mate, to be your husband or wife throughout life. God has a proper way, a proper provided way for all those things. Like in marriage and divorce, Brother Branham talks about that God had a way for men to marry, men and women to marry and live together and to be happy, and but man don't want it. Men don't want that provided way, so they go some other route, and it brings all kinds of chaos in the process.
Right.
So God has an answer for every life's decision, especially life decisions. He has those answers. And you know, like Brother Branham, when it come time and he didn't know how to pray, and he wrote a note and he tacked it on a tree. And you know, we think, that blesses me. I don't know what other people think, but for me, it just melts my heart. Because that's the God I know. A God in that much simplicity. Just like the little boy there that's praying the ABCs. And the man says, what are you doing? He said, well, I don't know what to say, but I figure if I pray the ABCs, God can put the words together and say what they need to say. And that's what the Bible tells us. I mentioned it a while ago. The Holy Spirit knows how to pray when you don't.
That's right.
He knows how to say things that you don't know how to say.
Yeah.
But we've got to get in that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, so He can do that.
Yeah.
We talked about it Thursday night about praying in the Spirit and what happens when you pray in the Spirit. And so God has a way for those things, and how to lead us and guide us and bring healing and give us And in the simplicity of however simple you can be to approach God for an answer, you know, you could I could be ridiculous about it. And if you go to the cabinet and want to drink a glass of water, if you felt the right kind of spirit about it and needed that from God, He could tell you which glass to get. But the point, and that's all I'm saying, because you can't get any, you can't outdo Him, I guess is what I'm saying. And so if you approach Him in whatever way of sincerity and simplicity, He'll answer to you.
Right.
It's we that make it complicated. God is not the author of confusion, and He's not the one that complicates things. So anytime we have a problem accessing God, finding His provided way, it's not Him that's causing it to be a problem. It's something else that's gotten in the way, and it's we'll talk a lot about it this morning, but there's other things that get in the way to cause that. And so God wants us to come to Him. God is not one who's standing there just ready to obliterate you the first mistake you make. That is not what His gospel is all about.
Amen.
It's on the contrary wise, He's doing everything He can to save people and to draw them to Himself. He makes all kinds of avenues. I mean, He's provided all kinds of avenues for people to get there, and they're going to be there in different categories. But He's got the bride of Christ who goes in a rapture. He's got foolish virgins that have to give their life for it. But at least they're still believers, and they do come up there. He's got others that come up on the other side, and they just come there because they were good to the brethren. There's different categories, and God just doing everything He can to save people.
Yeah.
And so we want to find His perfect will and His perfect way in all those decisions. It's Satan's job to make you miss God's perfect provided will, provided way. To make you miss it, not see it. Not just Satan, though, but it's in our flesh. It's in our natural flesh. Our natural man cannot find the things of God. So it's not just Satan that's there to hinder us from finding God's perfect will in our life. But it's written in the DNA of our flesh to work opposite of that.
Yeah.
To move away from the things of God and to seek things that's not of God. And so it's not just Satan, and it's not just your flesh, but it's everything. It's all this natural world, all the people and humanity and the systems and all the advertising and all the things that the gadgets that come out and you probably get tired of me hear me say things like that, but godly people don't create television programming. Godly people don't create them apps on our phones.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We live here. We have to interact with this world. But we better make sure that the blood is between us and the world.
Amen.
Right? That's what we got to make sure. Because all that's designed to trip people up. And the only thing that can withstand all that is the Holy Spirit in our lives to move us and to guide us according to the Word of God. And so, it's not just Satan. It's in our flesh and it's in the world. But the things of God and the revelation of God and the perfect will of God comes by revelation. It doesn't come by an intellectual thought. We just read it. That flesh and blood, you know, that our carnal minds can't and it doesn't say that we can't know it, but it says, I hadn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things that God had prepared for them who love Him. But He has revealed it to us by His Spirit. So we can know the things of God. We can know the perfect will of God for our lives. But we're not going to come up with that answer. We're not going to see it with these eyes. We're not going to hear it with these ears. We're not going to perceive it in our own natural heart. The way we're going to know the perfect will of God in our life is when it's revealed to us.
Amen. Right.
By the Spirit of God. That's the only way it comes. And the thing I really want to stress this morning with everyone is this. That it is impossible for us in our natural man, any natural man, to come up with the right answer and be in the will of God by that route. Because the Scripture tells us it can't come that way.
Right.
It's not supposed to come that way. Salvation is not supposed to come by works of man. God is the answer for all of it.
Amen.
And it has to come from Him. And that's why the gospel is made in the way. And it said the things that are freely given to us. Freely. I mean, it didn't cost us anything. It's very costly, but it didn't cost us. It's freely given to us. But the things that are freely given to us, for us to really grasp them, it's going to come by spiritual revelation. Because You'll hear with a natural ear, you'll hear the preacher say it, but it won't mean nothing to you. And you might see it with your natural eyes, and you might ponder on what you've heard with your heart, but it won't make any difference to you until something strikes you that goes beyond the natural ear, beyond the natural eye, beyond the natural reasoning of human ability, and something clicks.
Yeah.
Then it makes sense.
Amen.
Then it means something to you. That's called revelation, and that only comes from the Spirit of God. And that's what God has, is a provided way to bring us into these things, but it comes that route alone. And so, it can't come through reasoning. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it. Why? Because we don't know it ourselves. We don't know what the plan of God is for our lives. Most of us could say that the ones, especially some in ministry, could say, you know, that a lot of times we are doing something and find out that it was the moving of God and we didn't realize it was the moving of God. We see that from sometimes, and sometimes you know it is. But it is by revelation that we come to understand what these things really are and that we're standing where we need to stand or we're moving where we need to move. Only by spiritual revelation from God. And when we have that revealed to us, then we have God's provided way laid out for us. And it'll always work. And so Satan cannot prevail against that kind of thing. This that we just read here is a foundational teaching right here in First Corinthians. And remember, Corinthians is a book of correction. Because the Corinthians were a church that were very babyish in their way. And so Paul had to use and correct them all kinds of things. And we thank God for a church called Corinthians that were babies. Because we needed this instruction, and if Paul hadn't had to deal with that, he wouldn't have written these things, and we wouldn't have these instructions. So you see, even things that are slack and lacking, do you hear me?
Yeah.
Even things that are lacking, and I'll say that in your life, God needs those sometimes to build foundations for other things He's going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not endorsing slackness, by no means. But I'm just telling you that when we belong to God, sometimes we think we ought to be down here when He says, no, you need to be right here. And right here might be just a little bit shy of what we think we should be.
Yeah.
But it's still His program. And in that, He's still got a move that He's working. He's still in the lives of them people. And He still gets what He wants out of it because He's got a purpose. And so we look at it that way. We realize this is a foundational teaching. Very simple, something we should get right off the bat in our Christian walk, and that is that we must have revelation from God. Must have revelation to know what to do. In Matthew chapter 16, we know that Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the disciples were there, and they said, "Well, some say this, and some say that." And it's not good enough to know who Jesus Christ is by what you hear somebody else say.
Right.
Or, you know, I heard Brother Tim or I heard Brother Daniel say this and I think that's who he is. But Jesus knows that it's got to be a personal revelation. And so he brought it in. He said, no, but who do you say?
Right.
Who do you say? Because you could look at it and say, well, some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets, you know, and they were wrong.
Right.
So if you went with what they said, you'd be wrong. But you see, he said, who do you say that I am? And of course, the scripture said that Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the Lord spoke back to him and said, Peter, flesh and blood, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, flesh and blood, you didn't get this by seeing it, by hearing it, and by thinking it up yourself, Peter. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. He's revealed that. And upon this rock. Not Peter, because that means rock, Petrus. Not on him, because he was a man that denied the Lord. And even after he received the Holy Ghost to strengthen his brethren, he was still found in error, and Paul had to rebuke him.
That's right.
So we couldn't build upon the water of Peter's life. We need a rock. And so what he was talking about was that concept right there on revelation, built upon that. Then that's something that if there's a church built on that, Satan cannot prevail against it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. In other words, Satan wants to put you inside his city called hell, and he wants to shut the gate on you. But the gates, as long as those gates are missing, he can't hold you.
Yeah.
So the gates of hell cannot prevail against what? Hearing what somebody else says, or hearing what the Holy Spirit says? You hear what the Holy Spirit says, and you know where your feet are established. And you don't have to question. You don't have to worry about it after today, because you know right where you're supposed to be in God, and Satan just can't do nothing with it. He can't tear it down. And so, this is the way it should come. Brother Ram talks about it in the Patmos vision, and he's talking about getting into the Spirit there. And he said, I want to just illustrate something here. He says, suppose you need healing. He says, what does the Word say? Well, we've all read it countless times. He said, but did you get in the Spirit when you read it? We know the Scripture says, by His stripes we're healed, or go, you know. But he said, did you get in the Spirit when you read it? Didn't we ask God for His Spirit to teach us the real truth of it? If we did, we would call the elders, confess our sins, be anointed and prayed for, and that would be that. It might not happen immediately, but in His Spirit, it's over. And there's no other court of appeal. God will fulfill His Word. And He said, oh, we need to get into the Spirit, and then things will be done. We need to first get in the Spirit, and then second, things will be done. This is what I was talking about the other day. By no means does God want us to go and just do all these things without the Spirit of God in us, moving us. But He's saying, get the right spirit, you'll have the right experience, and it'll produce these things. So Brother Ram goes on to say, he said, don't go through these acts first. And in the Church Age book, this statement that I'm making is in all capital letters. Every letter is capitalized because he wanted to stress this to you. And I know they say, well, Lee Vail, all that kind of stuff. But Brother Branham read this book. His daughter read it to him as they traveled down the road. And Brother Branham put his approval on this book and signed the check for the first copies to be made. It's capital letters, and it says, don't go through the act first. Get in the Spirit, and then go through the act and watch what God will do. And so that's what we're talking about. We want to be in the Spirit of God. When we come and gather, and anything that God's doing in this assembly, we want it to be the Holy Spirit first, then us wrapping around what we see God doing and putting our actions to that, and then watch what God will do. And so that's what he's telling us here. And back to my original comment there, it takes time. God has His way. We want to give Him all the time that He feels like it's necessary for Him to do whatever He wants to do. And so, getting in the Spirit of it. Two weeks ago when I was talking about what house will you build me, I rehearsed just a couple of things I wanted you to go home with whenever I was talking about that. God said, what house will you build me? He said, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What are you going to do? If I live in heaven and I've got my feet on earth and I cover all this, and you're going to come along and build me a house, how are you going to do that? And what the Scriptures is trying to get out there is that you're not going to build God a house. God builds His own house.
Yeah.
A man usually is responsible for choosing or building or picking his own house. And God builds His own house because a house is built to the liking of the man that's going to live there, the family that's going to live there. And He makes it just so. And we're not going to be able to tell God, this is what you want, this is the kind of house, and this is where it needs to be. We're not going to do that. And God was pressing that issue there to those Pharisees and Sadducees with Stephen, but just before they stoned him. And so Stephen is rehearsing all that God has done, and then got to that point, and he got bold with them, and this is why they stoned him. But he got right in the face of all their religiosity, and he said, what house are you going to build? God said, I have made all this stuff, and you are resisting the Holy Ghost. So you find out that God builds His own house by movement of spiritual revelation, Holy Ghost movement, and causes this to happen and that to happen and something else to happen. And when it's all we're done with, God dwells in that house because He's the one that did it and not a man. And that's what He said. You're resisting the Holy Ghost. Your fathers did it, and so are you. And so in that sermon, what house will you build me? I was mentioning that, and God builds His own house, and He does it by Holy Ghost leadership. And He tells us there in that He said they needed a church there in Tucson. And Brother Branham knew he couldn't build it. He waited three and a half years. I forget the number there. It was around 3 or 3 and a half years. He waited in Tucson. Waiting. One man invited him to the pulpit. Imagine the prophet of the age and that kind of gifted man That kind of gifted man in this generation and a whole city wouldn't need nobody, no churches there would actually even come preach. Except one brother that asked him one, I think maybe once, I don't know how many times. But, and so Brother Graham was saying, needed a church here. He said, I can't, I've got a rambling spirit. He said, I can't do it because I got a spirit that's got to take me all over the place because I've got a message to give. So I can't be here and pastor a church here and be here. And so Brother Graham knew he couldn't do it. He couldn't even start the church and try to appoint somebody. I think Brother Graham had plenty of gifts that he could seek God and find the place and the building and find the person to put there and say, you be pastor. I believe he was plenty gifted to do that, but the concept is what we're talking about. God wouldn't let him do that. Because God builds the house, and God has a route. And so Brother Graham says, and we waited. And then he said, and finally the Lord spoke to Brother Perry Green and said, you come here. And Brother Perry left over everything he had there and come out to Tucson. And Brother Graham stressed it several times. He said, I appreciate Brother Green following the leadership of God to do this. Right. And now we've got a church. And Brother Branham read these scriptures and said, what house will you build me? And he said, we know that he's talking about the body that God came and dwelt in, Jesus Christ. We know that. But he said, and then he brought it to the fact that they needed a church there. So Brother Branham was saying, but it also applies to an assembly or a need for a church in a town, Tucson, in that example. And he said, and I'm so thankful that Peregrine followed the leadership and now he's come to do it. Now, I'm not trying to endorse Perry Green or anything. I'm just showing you a concept here. Is that God builds his own house. And then after that, Brother Brown said, now to the church there in Tucson, after he got established, he said, now I believe it's the church's responsibility to get behind what God is doing and support it with all that you can. Get behind that and support it. And it's because it's something God has done. And he didn't say, I'm so glad Brother Perry, he came and decided it himself. He didn't say that. It was the Holy Ghost that moved that and established that. And so it's still here, it's still with us today. And I don't know much about it. I don't need to know much about it. I just know that God has programs and God has ways. And I'm pretty sure there's been many souls saved by the work of that church right out there in Tucson. I don't know, but I think just from looking at this to see that God established something, I think we can say it. We believe that. And so, knowing all these things and now applying this to our lives, it's natural. We want the perfect will of God. We want God to provide a way for us. How do we proceed on from this day forward as a people, as individuals, as a church? How do we proceed onward knowing these things we've just talked about? We proceed on by seeking God for spiritual revelation. We move in the direction that we want God's guidance and leadership in our life for every decision that we make. Whether it's natural, spiritual, whatever, we want a nod from the Lord. We want the Holy Spirit to speak to us and say, do this, don't do that, get up and go here, go there. That's what we want. And I've been telling you, church, for some time now, there's a place we're going. The Holy Spirit's going to take us there. We're going to see God move in this church. We're going to see the miraculous days that we know that were there in the days of the prophet, there in the days of the apostles. We're moving to that hour where we're going to see those things happen like they're supposed to. Amen. We're going to see God move that way because that's the direction He's taking His people now. And so, and that's what I want. I want to see that. But I know that in order to get there, I can't put an intellectual thought to it and figure out how to get us there, and neither can you. Right. But I know that if we pray and we seek God as a whole, and for the ministry especially to do their part, to find that leadership of God, God's going to get us there. Amen. And once we're there, once that movement is moving that direction, and I believe it's already moving, but once that happens, it's something God's doing because it's all by His orchestration, even if we don't realize it at the time. But He's going to get us there. See? I think we're in movement right now. But I know one thing. It's going to take getting us out of our comfort zone.
Right.
Out of our ritualistic ideas that we're comfortable with doing this and doing that. We're comfortable with certain things in church and comfortable in this and that. I've never been one that's given to politics or something like that, and given to a tradition a whole lot. I want things that are genuine and real, and because they make sense to me, and it seems right to me. I know not to pick up the topic of Christmas or whatever, but it always felt strange to me to receive gifts from someone at Christmas time. Oh, it did. And the reason why is, and it may just be a carnal thought, but when I've said this many times, if you really wanted to speak to me and make me feel like that you really loved me and appreciated me, if you were going to do it in the form of a gift, come to me some strange day out of the year. It's not my birthday, not some special holiday, not Christmas, and give me a gift and say, I appreciate you, Brother Tony. And you know what? I'm going to go away and say, you know what? That's true. But when people come to me at Christmas time, I know it's a holiday. It's a tradition of man that's impressing them to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like it's genuine. Even though I know there is a little bit of genuineness there because people get into that and they do mean it. But you see what I'm saying? And so I just want things that are genuine and right. And though there's a whole lot about us that is formality and that sort of thing, and there's a lot of things that are repetitious that God gets in, and because it's things we have to do. But even with all that, I don't want to be bound by tradition.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit moves, and He moves, and He moves. And we want to move with Him, like He did the children of Israel as they come out of Egypt. And so we want to proceed onward and move forward by seeking God for revelation. And what am I trying to say here? I want us to understand that when we get out of bed every day, that we've got to arm ourselves with a different thought. And that different thought is that right now, as I get out of bed, I need to approach this day not with human intellect.
Right.
I need to approach this day with Holy Ghost leadership. Because God could tell you to do a certain thing that could change lives that day, or you could go in yourself and not change anything. You could go in yourself and go the opposite direction. Actually cause lives to draw back some of you. And so, and to realize I've got to go through today and approach today with a different thought, and that is something from God, and He will reveal that to me, and it'll be Him doing it. And so that's kind of what I'm wanting us to really focus on here, is that we need to catch ourselves, you know. Sometimes you'll be doing something. Well, there I am doing it again. I don't want to do that. We need to catch ourselves because we're constantly assessing situation and making decisions, and it's in ourselves.
Yeah.
And this that we want to see God do is not going to be built on that.
Right.
It'll be built on spiritual revelation. And it won't be just your ministers who seek God and get those answers.
Absolutely.
It's a body as a whole. That's we want to move in that direction because we are one with another. That can't be erased. We're going to spend eternity together. We're going to know each other over there, the things and the victories we've had here. And so that's not going to back up. And so we might as well get ready to say, you know what, we're going to fight this battle together. Because God's people need to rally around that concept. We are a body. We are a body. We will fight for each other. We'll protect each other. Yeah. We will rejoice when one rejoices, and we'll mourn when somebody mourns. And so that's what we want to do. It'll come by spiritual revelation. Now, and if it comes by spiritual revelation, it'll never be contrary to the Word of God.
Right.
That's pretty simple. It'll never be contrary to the Word if it comes from God.
That's so true.
And so, if it's by revelation, then it's by faith. Because it requires faith. Faith and revelation are like married together, husband and wife, if you want to look at it that way. But because a revelation, if you can't think it yourself, if you can't comprehend it in your own thinking without God enlightening you to see it as a revelation, then the whole element of understanding this revelatory knowledge of God, of what's going on and where to go, that means that there's an element of God that's in that, and that's why you can understand it, and you can't, in human intellect, you can't comprehend that, but God has to elevate you, then you can comprehend it. And you find out that the natural man can't see it. The only way we can see it is when we're up there. And I say that because ministers know this. God can deal with you and He can catch you up in the spirit. Brother Graham called it spheres sometimes. He'd catch you up and you could see a great view, like an eagle view of this plan of God, of something that's going on. And you go, I want to go preach that. I want to take that to the people. And then, you know, the next day you get up and you go, yeah, what was that last night? Yeah, what was, you know. In your mind, you have a hard time in yourself comprehending these things because it's a big message and it's full of revelation. You see Brother Daniel shaking his head. And see, and that's what happens. I pray and I get before the Lord, and then after that, I'm shaking in my boots to come up here because I know that when I get here, He's got to take what He gave me when I was up here, and now I'm back down here, and He's got to put me back up here for me to present it to you.
Right.
And so there's that transition, but it's to come to understand that concept. Now, not just your ministers to know that I've got to approach this until God elevates me, then I have His answer of what to say and what to do. And even when I come down off of that, I realize He gave it to me, and I'll seek Him, and so that He always, by His Spirit, will elevate me, and I can move and operate in that as much as possible.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. And so it's hard to do that when you're interacting with man and humanity and flesh so much. It's hard to. But that's the battle we all have. Not just preachers, but all of us.
Right.
To do that day in and day out. To seek God's leadership so that we know how to move and go. Because one word from God can change a life. How many would like to be used to save somebody to get saved? Because
Amen.
Do you know that you could leave here right now. God could speak to you and say, at exactly 12:15 on the money, be standing at this street corner here, and the person that walks by, come up the sidewalk, just say these five words to them. And you could do that, and that person's life be totally, completely changed and reversed. And whereas you could sit here till the cows come home trying to figure out how to go out and save souls and not get anything done.
Right.
We've got to have spirit leadership.
Yeah.
That's what we want. We want to follow the Lord in that way. And so, it's got to come by that. And if it comes by revelation, and then there's faith that has to be there. Because you can't comprehend it yourself. It takes God. Then the carnal mind can never grasp it. I just explained to you that we believers can't grasp it in ourselves until we're walking in the Spirit. And we just read the quote where even though we see it, we're not going to get the results that it says until we pray and get in the Spirit. And then in the Spirit of what it says, then go and watch what God does. And that's the concept. And that's where we fail right there. That's because this generation is designed to keep us from being able to walk in the Spirit. But when we walk in the Spirit, we're walking in God's provided way to know what we need to do. And it requires an effort on our part to realize that we need to turn away from the things of the natural and seek God for spiritual revelation. And so if it's revelation, it's faith. That means that there's an element there. There's always going to be an element there that you can't really comprehend very well with your own natural mind. You'll only be able to contain that in a spiritual mind. And that's where we want to walk. Every major truth that we have to live by has an element of something that we can't quite wrap our head around.
Yeah.
Right? But we know it's God. We know it. We have revelation on it. We know serpent seed is right. We know Godhead that is right. There's one God. And He comes down in offices of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We know that. But to drop down into human intellect and try and prove that to somebody else in human intellect, you'll never prove it to them, because the only way they can understand it is if they get elevated up into revelation. So you have to present the word, but you realize you can't do that. And so all of our truths that we have, they're there. They have elements about them that can't be comprehended by human mind. We know that. And even we have to say, well, you know, maybe I can't answer that. But you still know it's right, because there's an element there that God has given. So that's what a mystery is. It's a truth that's revealed, but yet there's still an element about it that you can't quite. And that's scriptural, because the Bible said, when that midnight cry come, them foolish virgins and the wise virgins, And the foolish came to the wise and said, give me of this oil. Give me this anointing. What does it take to get you into that realm of revelation? The Holy Ghost. Give me of this anointing. And the wise virgins had to say, I can't. I can't give this to you. You've got to go to the ones that have the oil and get the oil for yourself. When you go and you get the oil for yourself, then now you've got the anointing that will put you up here, and then you can have the same revelation on how to get out of here in a rapture.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us that those foolish didn't. They came to that door, the same door that the wise virgins got in and went into rapture, went in to be consummated in the marriage with Christ. The foolish virgins came eventually, but the door was shut. And it don't take very many steps for me to be behind you and you to go in a door and it be shut and be locked and for me to miss it. I don't have to be just a couple of steps behind you.
Right.
So it don't take much. You see what I'm saying? It don't take much to miss what God, but it's simple. Just Holy Ghost in our lives will get us where we need to go.
Yeah.
And so, it'll always come that way. There'll always be an element that intellect can't understand. But you see, this is the language of God, because this is not a human language. This is not a human system. It's not a human kingdom. It's a kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven, a language from heaven. Satan would like to tap into God's encrypted message, if you want to, what I mean there. But he can't. See, we've been given the passcode or whatever, and so we're connected, but he can't. That's what, you know, natural type spiritual, and science finds all these things out, and they use it all the time now, where they send messages and it's all encoded so nobody else can get to it. It's all because these things are the way they are in spiritual sense. God's got a people that's connected. And it gives them, they get the message from God, whereas others don't. And so, to have this that I'm talking about puts it out in a place where Satan can't touch it. Gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And we need to look to God's leadership for it. And when it comes, it will always defy reason. It'll always defy that human reason. The day you got saved, give your heart to the Lord, and you knew something happened, that defied reason. There's an element about that in our carnal mind that you can't fully size up. And this is why I'm saying, learn to recognize what that carnal side is and get out of it. Yeah. Don't approach your day. Don't look at your brothers and sisters with that. Don't look at your church and your ministry with that. Don't go to work and interact with your workers with that. Get out of that intellect side that can't grasp it to begin with. Be caught up in revelation and then approach it. And you'll always come out right.
That's
what Brother Bram said about Brother Perry Green. He said he left all that back there in Beaumont, come out here. And he said a lot of times people and even your very, very best friends will look at you and say, it's wrong. But Brother Bram said, it's not wrong to you as long as you can feel that it's God. You feel it, that it's God. He said, it's God moving you, and it'll always come out right. We're not saying that to the world, but we're saying to believers. When you have a relationship with God and He speaks to you, you move. And even when your friends and your family and people look and say it's wrong, you know it's not, because God's moving you, and just hang on to it. It'll come out right. People might criticize you. Even your best friends that you walk with might criticize you. But just hang on. If it's God, God will make it come out right. And it'll show itself to be that way. And so that's what we want to do. Is just leave it up to Him and leave our reasoning out of it. And just be caught up in the revelation of God. And if it's outside, if anything's going on and it's outside of being Holy Spirit leadership, it will be contrary to God's program. Back to what I said. We can't come up with it. Our government can't come up with it. Natural flesh can't come up with the answer of God, because it's spiritually discerned, as we read just a little while ago. Yeah. The only way that we can know the things of man is to have the spirit of man in us. I don't understand the way dogs operate, because I don't have the spirit of a dog in me. Dog can't understand how I operate, because they don't have the spirit of human. I can understand how humans work, because I have a human spirit. You can't understand the things of God unless you have the Spirit of God in you. And so that's what Paul said there. Incidentally, this text that Brother Perry, you might remember, he gave me my first opportunity to preach right here. And this was the text I used first time I preached. Because I remember I got stumbled right in the middle of it and lost a thought. And I had to stand there for about 30 seconds to try to remember what it was I was fixing to say. And Brother Perry was sitting about where Brother Daniel is, and he started praying for me. I don't know, he probably doesn't remember that, but I do. And so, it's still the same. That was in 1991. But it's still the same today. We need spirit leadership. We need the Holy Ghost to move us.
Man.
If we want it to come out right. Man will always choose the thing that is wrong, but Holy Spirit will always get it. Holy Spirit leadership will always catch what God's doing, because that's one life in the same. And he'll point to doing point to what it is. You know, sometimes we want to know what God is doing, and there's a lot of ways that Satan kind of works against it in our flesh and whatever. You know, and sometimes you take people that dwell together, whatever. Maybe the Lord begins to move on somebody, begins to do something, and as we talked about a while ago, that maybe people don't understand what you're doing, but if it's God, it'll come out right. And sometimes people will look at that and they'll say, you know, that's not God. That's not it. Look what this person's doing. You know, I just don't see that. And sometimes people get a spirit on them against some other person. And we think about it in the scriptures where, you know, God had a man picked out called Moses. But Moses was rejected by his people. Mm-hmm. And God had to come around and they rejected. God was doing something. God was moving. It's spiritual movement. And though it took on a physical form called Moses that they had knew and seen and grown up there in Pharaoh's house, but it was still God's program. It was still God's provided way for Israel at that time. And the natural mind looked at it and said, forget it. Who made you a ruler?
Yeah.
The natural mind will always miss it. But then, and it cost them at there, because we realize it took them another 30 or 40 years before Moses come back and finally brought them out. And it was all because of that situation there, because they couldn't receive it. Moses, and I know that God had to deal with Moses too, but you see, it could have happened earlier. If we look at it from that concept, we know it could have happened earlier, but they rejected Moses, and God had to turn around and prove it and bring it back around. And the very ones who said, this guy's not going to be our ruler, they turned around and realized that was the very gift of God that he had sent to deliver them.
Yeah.
And so they missed what God was doing in a natural sense. I guarantee you, if those people would have prayed and got down in the presence of God until the Spirit of God came upon them, they'd have realized Moses was a gift from God. But they didn't. They made that mistake, and it was to their own hardship that it happened. We find out later on, when they were Joseph's brothers, God was going to bless them, and he raised up, as Brother Branham said, Joseph, he was a spiritual one among them. He was Christ among them. And God was going to do things through Joseph, but his brothers wound up not liking him. And, you know, it wasn't Joseph's fault. The scripture said that his father loved him more than his brothers. It wasn't Joseph's fault that his father loved him more than his brothers.
Right.
It wasn't Joseph's fault that his father made him a coat of many colors and not his brothers. You see, it wasn't that. Joseph was a spiritual man. He began to have dreams. You know, he couldn't just say, well, I'm just not going to have dreams anymore. He was just what he was, and all he could do is express what he was, and it was a gift of God coming on the scene, and they rejected it. They hated it.
Yeah.
They sold him into Egypt because of that, and the way I think Brother Branham laid it out there was when they put the spiritual side out, then look what happened. But God turned around and brought him right back to that gift. And that was the very gift that he had sent to deliver and help. And they had to come right back to that. And of course, by that time, he said, don't worry about it. God meant it for good. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Yeah.
But the concept was there, was that God had a provided way. And them boys, if they would have been brothers, if they'd have prayed, I believe they begin to realize. It says that even his dad didn't quite catch it, see? He just pondered on it. He didn't criticize it so much like they did, but he pondered on it. And we find out all through history, God had people that was rejected.
Yeah.
David, to be a king, he was rejected. Typing Christ. All these are typing Christ who was rejected. where Jesus stood on the mountain and he cried, oh, because a rejected king. And, you know, David, as a type of that, years before that, standing there, a rejected king, crying and weeping over his city and his people, because that was Christ. And all these things have to happen. So now, here's what I'm saying. When we want to find out what God's doing, He's got a provided way. In the natural sense, that provided way is going to be rejected and spoken against. They can't see it because it's natural mind, and it can't comprehend and grasp what God's doing.
Right.
But a spiritual mind will catch it. And it'll be spoken against. Whatever. But God does those things. Why? Because it's Christ. And He was rejected. And it has to be that way. But He'll bring it around and show. Bring that deliverance and do the things and make that come and be that way. And that's what it's all about. The scripture said there about Joseph, it said that his brothers could not speak peaceably to him. Once they got a spirit on them against him, they could not speak peaceably to him about nothing. Why? Because they had an anointing of something on them. There was you just call it an evil spirit or whatever, but it was a spirit that was upon them to cause them, because why? They were in a mode of rejection. They were in a mode that wasn't Holy Spirit anointing to do that. They were in a mode of rejecting, and so all they could see was favoritism and this and that. They couldn't see that it was a gift of God. And so they got that spirit upon them, and all they could do was look at Joseph, and they couldn't find anything good about anything Joseph wanted to do or say. The scriptures, you know, that's just my way of describing it, but it said they could not speak peaceably to him. Right? Because they had a spirit on them. Now I'm saying that to bring it to this. What if the Spirit came on them and it was Holy Spirit? What would the outcome be? If an evil spirit can get on somebody and make it to where you can't see a person do anything good or right, everything they say and do is wrong. What if the Holy Spirit come on it and that was a gift God sent among them? Then the Holy Spirit would come on there and all they could do is see that that's God's provided way for our day, and I'm getting on board with it. So if the people there, like in Tucson Tabernacle, say, you know what? Perry Green's just a Texan. I don't like Texans. Nothing against you, brother, because I like this brother. But you know what? They could say that. They could have an intro. Wow, I ain't never seen a Texan you could trust. But you know what? What Brother Brown said, but see, they moved with the Spirit of God to come here, and this is God doing this. And now, church, you get behind that because God's doing something here. You get behind that and support it. And so if those people could see that and they could catch that Spirit, the Holy Ghost would come on. Now they could look and they say, we're behind it. We are behind it. We're behind it. We're moving. And God will move that way, see? And so we realize that there are some who reject it that never find mercy, and there are some who reject it that He comes around and finds out it was a gift for them. To save them and to help them. We know those things are scriptural, and that's the way they work. We see it all through the scriptures. And so we want to always look daily to realize that we need spiritual leadership to find this perfect provided way for God in our lives each day. And I can say the Spirit's willing, we want that. But I can also tell you the flesh is weak. So we got more identification in the Bible. Our struggles today, we got more identification in the Bible about what's going on among us and in our daily fight and struggle than what we think. Jesus said, the Spirit's willing. Do you realize that? He wanted to be victorious for His people. He had something in Him that desired to save God's people, but when it come right to that flesh that He dwelled in, He said, man, hard to pray. Hard to really get this man out of the way. I don't think Jesus Himself was like we are in, you know, putrefied fleshly beings. I consider Him, but you see, He was an example. So He had to be that way so He could atone for us, and then we could see that He suffered the same way we do. But see, He struggled with it, and so that's right where we're at. We're in our Gethsemane. This is where we're at right now. We're in our Gethsemane. And the battle is won at Gethsemane. The battle is not won on Golgotha's hill. It's not up there on that cross. The battle was won when he said, not my will, but thy will. And so that's our daily dying out that we have to do in order for thy will to be done. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's the thing people don't like. We don't like, we live in such a soft age. That's the thing that we don't. We don't want a sacrifice anymore. We don't want to have to really get down and push and fight. But I can tell you one thing for sure. Those us families, parents that have children, I can tell you this, that if we looked and saw military soldiers coming to try and shoot our children with machine guns, we'd get in action, wouldn't we? We'd sure get on it. We'd do what we could. And we would waste no time. There wouldn't be time to sleep, wouldn't be time to eat. We'd have to move. And that's the problem. We don't want to do that, spiritually speaking. As we heard Brother Brown last week, I was listening, and he said, it's just become too common to us. Yeah. Coming to church, it's just too common of a thing. Just being what we are, it's become too common. But see, there's always an envelope we got to press. It's that way in anything out there. If you want to become a drag car racer, you've got to press and push that car, and you got to find a way to get another millisecond on that time, off of that time. You got to press, Olympics, whatever it is. In business world, you got to find a way to get that product a little bit cheaper. You got to press to overcome.
Yeah.
That's the only way it comes. And our pressing is just simply this concept right here that I'm talking. To learn how to say no to ourselves and quit trying to size things up in our human intellect and get into that mode where we're close to the Holy Spirit and He can speak to us. And so, when we get into a place like that, it's out there on the limb where all the fruit is, but it's shaky. It's out there where we have to get out of flesh and get to a place where out here, if God didn't come on the scene, we'd look like a fool. But God will come on the scene. And it's out there that we'll have the most fruit production in our lives when we begin to move out in the Spirit and quit worrying about what people think in the natural. And that's what we've got to do.
Yeah.
So it takes dying out to that, moving out there on that. It's a place out there that's not in reasoning. And that's where the fruit is. And when we get to that place, there's no imitations of that. Satan's not going to imitate that. And he can't prevail against it. And the only way to get there, the only way I know to tell you to get there, is just spend time in prayer. To pray. Because prayer makes us sensitive to spiritual things. Pray, meditate, read your Bible, keep yourself in the Word. God knows we live in such a pressing age, and He's provided us sermons that we can listen to, whether it's Brother Branham or other ministers, or even from here, this we've got it at our fingertips. So what is it? It's a choice. We've got to choose to say no to the other things and let our time be occupied in the things of God. And so that we keep the Word before us, whether it's reading it, whether it's just laying in bed and meditating and thinking about it. Think about the stories of God and about Joseph. Because when you do that, the Holy Spirit draws near and He can reveal and enlighten things to you. You never know where He's going to take you. As a minister, we don't know where the Holy Spirit's going to take us when we sit down to seek Him for what we want to share with you. We don't know. But it's always a wonderful journey when He finally takes us and moves in whatever direction. It's wonderful. And that's what we want. We don't know, but He knows the way.
Yeah.
He knows what we need. So we want to spend time in prayer and meditation and thinking on the things of God, because those things keep us spiritually alert. Spiritually alert. So that God can speak to us when He wants and tell us go here, go there, and do what He wants. And do what He wants us to. And so do that and sanctify a time for that. As I mentioned the other day, some people listen to tapes at home instead of going to church. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with listening to tapes. You need to do that. That's what they're there for. But don't ever let that replace your church.
Mess.
Because you've got to belong to a body. And as long as you're sitting at home listening to tapes, you're not touching anybody. But you belong to a body somewhere, and you be involved with that body so the Holy Spirit can come on you and call you to be a blessing, and He'll come on them and cause them to be a blessing to you. And that's the way it works. And as long as you're drawn off to the side as a coal away from the fires, you're going to die out. And so you'll never have a sanctified time at home like you would in church, because in here we're not going to be answering the phone when it rings. We're not going to be, letting things distract us. We're going to stay focused on what we're here for, and so you want to do that. But even at home, in your prayer life, in your time of devotion and study, sanctify time. In other words, sanctify is when you take something to God and He takes it to Himself. It's cleansed and sanctified for His use. Set aside time and shut everything out and say, this is God's time. This is my time to pray or to read. This is my time, even if it's laying on your bed and thinking about the things of God or worshiping God, whatever it is. But you sanctify that time and you show God that you mean business and put everything else out and say, this is His time and nothing's getting in on it.
Amen.
Okay? Do that, because when you do that, you become more spiritually sensitive. And you'll catch things that you wouldn't catch when you don't. We don't have the ability in ourselves to do this, but if we stay close to Him, then when He wants to speak, He'll do it.
That's right.
And when He says, you know what, get up and go do something or whatever, that's exactly what He'll, and you'll hear it. But God can't speak to a busy mind.
Right.
Think about it. There's a few times I go to eat breakfast at Hardee's. Not Hardee's, Brahms. And there's a couple in there, and I've never seen that woman, the man and woman. I've never seen what time she's in there, and she's just constantly doing this on the phone. It's crazy to me, and I know we all use those things, but we need to realize there's an epidemic, because people are losing their connection with one another. Unless it comes through some medium like that. And then there's no true relationship in that.
Right.
And we don't want that to replace what we need to have. And so that's just all constantly, constantly doing that. And what I'm saying, because Satan's got plenty of gadgets and systems and ways to keep us occupied. So what he did to the children of Israel when they wanted to go worship God, he said, no, you stay busy. So he keeps them busy. Why? Because as long as they're busy, they're not worshiping God. And so Satan's a master of that. He's a master of keeping it. But saints, you know what? God's not going to come down and absolutely take from you a sanctified time each day. You'll give it to Him or He won't have it.
That's right.
He's given us salvation freely. But there's something in it that we have to do. Otherwise, there's not going to be any reward for us at all.
Yeah.
Isn't what a prophet teaches us.
There's
a reward for us. There's a pressing we have to do. There's decisions we have to make. And we have become too at ease with the fact that we're not quite where we need to be. We have. That's what's happened. We're too at ease with that. And you know what? The preacher can't make it different for you. He can tell you the truth. But there's decision making that we'll have to make ourselves. We're going to have to say, you know what? This is right. And I'm wasting time here. I've got to set aside, because I can't do it myself, but I know if He'll speak to me, I'll do what needs to be done. And the only way, I've got to hear from Him. I've got to hear from God.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can do is orchestrate my own events and my own time to make room for Him to come and speak to me. And then when He speaks, we'll get up and we'll go do, and we'll rise up the way He wants us to. And you'll see God moving and building in that. But anything shy of that, it won't be God. And so that's kind of where it's a little stalemate. God's waiting on His people to say, you know what? You realize who you are, and for you to realize it and go with it. And so God cannot speak to a busy mind. But He wants a people that's got Holy Spirit leadership. And this part right here is going to be just a little bit personal on my part, but you know, for me to have made the decision I made just a little over a year ago was hard. And to the decision that's caused me to be here. And I didn't come over here necessarily to this building because I realized it just happened to be what God provided. It just happened to be the way it was. When I made my choice and announced my choice to be leaving in Fort Smith, Within about 15 minutes, somebody came to me and told me this building was ready for rent. I didn't know. And there's nobody among us that told us that. But I came, God provided it. God provided a way. He works on both ends. He always does. God provided it, and this is where we've been for a little over a year now. And I didn't know, but he provided it, and I didn't know what the Lord was doing, but all I know is that I know that God spoke to me and told me that it would be evil spoken of. I knew that. I accept that responsibility because I had a desire to see to it that you would have a place to go for church. And that's what I did. And God knows that to be the truth. And he's more than able to do whatever he wants if that's not the truth. And so I had a desire to see to it that the sheep that would be astray had a place to come so they wouldn't be astray. And so I finally made it a choice after I seen everything that working the way it was. I finally made a choice, and within 15 minutes of making an announcement, someone came and said, "Hey," and they didn't know. They had no idea. You didn't know. You didn't know what was going on with me. But they said, "Hey," and so I came to Brother Perryman and asked him about the building there, and he said he'd be more than happy for us to use it. But I didn't realize at that time what God was really doing. And so, when I was a little boy, I think about 5 years old, my grandmother hadn't been going to church. Years before, she started going to church, wanted to. And Brother Perryman had a store building down there in downtown Rudy. It's a pretty large place for the way I remember it, but I was a little child, probably about 5 years old. But we started going to church there, and Brother Perryman and Sister Perryman were the most dedicated people I ever come across in all my life for the gospel, and held a standard of holiness unwavering all the years I've known. No questions. And I saw his perseverance. Living in Lead Hill for 18, 20 years and driving down here, keeping pastoring, but he had a place there, and he finally was able to move here closer. I didn't know. I went looking for some land to buy, and when I bought some land, lo and behold, it butted right up against his. Wasn't something I was trying to do, but I'm looking back at it now, and I see that God was doing something there. And so Brother Perryman and his wife, they meant a lot to me through the years. And I'm not saying this just because Brother Perryman's here, but I think you can give him a rose now rather than wait until he's gone. But he's a man of prayer. And I remember one time I went and spent the week with him. His son was a friend of mine, and we were almost the same age. And so I got to spend the week with him one time during the summer. Brother Perry, when we come home from work at night, and as soon as he'd get home, he'd work around there on the farm doing things until his wife called him for supper. He'd come in and eat supper, and he'd rise from that supper table. They didn't have a TV. He'd rise from that supper table, and he'd go take a bath, and then he went to his room to his knees for prayer. And I don't mean 15 minutes. I don't mean 30 minutes. I'm talking like a couple of hours worth of prayers, the way I remember it. And rise early the next morning for a couple of hours of prayer that way. And that was his cycle every day. And it's always been that way. And so I saw a dedication there. And I saw that there was something in being a person that would have stamina for the Lord. Him and his wife both were that way. And that spoke to me. And I think that made a great impression on me as a child. And I remember there was the gifts of the Spirit worked in Brother Perryman's church. I remember the Lord speaking to me when I was a child. He said, "When you're older, you're going to preach my gospel." Well, I went, I didn't. Just went on about my way and run out in the world, But eventually God came knocking at my heart. And of course, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I come to Brother Perryman's church because I knew that the rest of the world had a bunch of nonsense, but this man was dedicated. And it was Brother Perryman that when I was first a Christian, I remember sitting with him in the other building he had before he got this one. And I remember sitting and I had questions that I wanted to ask. And I'd sit down and I remember specific questions about things Jesus spoke in the Sermon of the Mount. And I remember sitting with him and he was telling me at that young time, such a tender moment and experience, and him expressing to me the things that I needed to hear. And so, you know, he was the one that brought me the tapes, introduced me to a prophet by the name of William Branham. It was he who allowed me to speak and minister the first time, and many times after that, right here. And I realized way back, I think several months back, when Tom Morris was here. And he spoke to me after service was over with that morning. He spoke to me back there, and he said, "The Lord's told me what has happened here." And he told me several things, but one of the things that he said, and Brother Tim heard this part, it was a conversation, I think, later at the restaurant, but he said, "The Lord's told me that," he said, "that you've come back to where you started." And I said, "Brother, you don't know that this is where I preached my first sermon." He said, "Is that right?" I said, "Yeah, that's right." He said, "Well, the Lord showed me." He said, "I really believe that. He spoke to you." Isn't that right, Tim? Mm-hmm. And so I that was just another thing. And I began to realize. And so the Lord spoke to me last week, began to press upon me to go to Brother Perryman and say specifically some certain things to him. And I didn't know if I could say them because of being emotional about it. So I wrote them on a piece of paper. Just like Brother Branham writing his prayer, I wrote them and printed it out, saved it on my memory stick. And as it turns out, I was able to talk to him and didn't have to give him the note, but I had it in my bag that I carry. But what the Lord spoke to me and told me today is that you go to Brother Perryman because he needs this. You go to Brother Perryman and you tell him, "Brother Perryman, it was you that made this influence all these years. And you tell him, Brother Perryman, you're my father in the faith. And you ask him if he will lay hands on you and commission you to carry the work that he has had all these years and go on with it." And God spoke to me and told me that Brother Perryman needed to know that what he had struggled for, because a man needs to be able to look, he needs to be able to see that work. And I mentioned this here a while back, but the Lord just, you know, I didn't know, but he spoke to me clearly. He said, "You go to him and you tell him these things and ask him if he would do that." And so that he would know that gospel, that Holy Ghost gospel that he stood for, that it'll carry on after the Lord takes him home. And so I did. I came to Brother Perryman Friday night after work. And when I told him what I just told you, he started crying. He said, "Brother Tony," he said, "this is God. Because I have been praying exactly about this right here." He said, "Even today, even Friday," he said, "I've been praying and saying, God," and he was specifically told me what the things were that he was praying to God about me personally and about ministry. And he said, "I know this is the Lord because this is what I've been praying about." Brother Perryman, would you let that be known that that's what it is? And so, That's the way God works. Now, I didn't know a year ago, and I didn't know why I was here in this building. But you see, God had something else going on. It wasn't all about what people think. Oh, well, this in the past and this and that happened. God's got ways beyond. And then Brother Tim and Sister Brittany sung that song a while ago. I like all the songs, and they're all complimentary, but in that one specifically, what if it's his mercy in disguise? Yeah. What if the rain drops? What if all the sorrows and all that? What if that isn't that his mercy? His grace in disguise. How are we to look and say, "I'll tell you, God, how to build a house. I'll tell you how it is. We'll do it this way." No, God's got his own ways.
Man.
And he knows how to build it, and he knows how to come around and make it come out right as long as it's him. We don't want to get in a hurry. It might be evil spoken of. Even this week, I've received harsh things this week because of the decision I made. Hurting things. But you know what? God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And we'll just trust him and move on with him and believe in him and get behind what he's saying and don't make that mistake of sizing it up with our own thinking pray and get revelation on it, then you'll know what God's doing. And I trust that many of you have, and you do know that. But you see, God will establish, and God has, and you may think, well, Brother Tony, you're saying it about yourself. I'm telling you, God does these things for you. God's got a purpose for you.
Amen.
That you might be blessed, and He will do something in this body. But you know what? Satan, he probably doesn't want to do that, right? He doesn't want that to happen, right? He wants something else to happen or something to come along and be a hindrance to that. But God will always win out. Moses said in Exodus chapter 33, verse 13, he said, "Now I pray, therefore, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." So he's saying, God, you got to show me. This people that I'm leading here, you got to show me. Is this your people? Right? And I believe it, but you confirm this, God. And so, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And God said to him, he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherewith shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And so you see, what God showed there was, Moses, my presence will go with you. This is how you're going to know this. My presence will go with you and your group. That's how it'll be. And then you'll know with that, you'll be that separated people. You'll be different than all the nations of the earth.
Yeah.
And I know you by name.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that. And so, I appreciate what God has done for me. I appreciate what He's doing for you. I trust that you believe it's God and that you'll pray for it. Pray for God to move and bless this assembly and bless the work of our hands. We can do things that will be pleasing to Him. Just bow our hearts as the musicians come. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. I thank You, Lord, for having someone who would be a mentor to me throughout the years as we've spoken. I thank You, Lord, because of the message that has come. You bring us truth that we can look at the Scriptures and we can understand, Lord, through revelation, the truth that You've given us in this hour. Lord, we know that when You do things, it's not just for naught, but it is for a purpose. And that purpose is that You might draw Your people to Yourself and strengthen them. And so, Lord, in all that I've said this morning, we give You the glory for making these things happen. And we look to the future, Lord, for what You will do each service, each day, each week. We trust, God, that You will take us to be that people, Lord, that I believe that You've said we can be. And Lord, I don't want us to make a mistake and look off in the future for something that You're doing now. I want to have my eyes open now, Lord, that I can see. And I believe that's the same cry of the hearts of Your people. We ask, God, that You'd move and touch each family, each home, Lord, that You would supply the needs, that You inspire them, and Lord, show them how to sanctify their time for Your presence. And Lord, that You would be among Your people, that we would not go from here into this world unless, Lord, that Your Spirit goes with us to testify that we're Your people. We ask, God, that You do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's all stand as we get ready to go. Again, and lead us in a song. You love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Just remember, you've got to do your part. Amen. How many want to have a reward over there? You know, the Scripture said we cast our crowns at His feet, but the Scriptures say also we don't want to be over there and be naked, right?
That's right.
And so we've got a work to do in ourselves when we clothe ourselves with His promises and put feet on our prayers, put feet on those things, and watch what God will do. Amen. Let's sing.
I feel the
thank you.
parable of the potter, he was showing that that only the potter himself can actually see what's down inside that vessel as he's making it. He can look down inside the heart of it and see what's there and what the capacity is of that vessel. And of course, vessels are made to put something in. It's made to put something in for the master of that vessel. But the vessel is really not any good use until it's filled and then poured out. Then poured out. And refilled and poured out. And that's what our life is all about. To be filled with the goodness of God and go give it out and come back and get filled once again. It's a cycle. It's a process. You know, I get up and I go to work. I come home. I go to bed. I get up. I go to work. It's a cycle, but it's a cycle of life that provides. And it's the same way. God has it for us. We're vessels for His honor and glory. Fill us with His goodness. Pour us out according to His purpose. Amen. How many can say that's what you want in your life?
Amen.
God bless you. We'll sing again as you're dismissed.
Oh my God.